Welcome to this message from the pulpit of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. This message is by Pastor Ben Simpson. To find out more about our church and its ministries, visit us on the web at westmainbaptist.com. Now may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 9. Now this is the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your sons and your grandsons might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and all his commandments which I commanded you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as your Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in the land of the flowing of milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I commandeth you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and should talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontal on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates.
Let's pray together this morning. Lord God, it is so good to be gathered together here with other believers this morning, Father. And it's so good to open up Holy Scripture together, Father. Speak to us. Open our eyes to your word, God. We ask that you do that. That you would continue to bless our time together, Father. And may it be fruitful, Father. And may it ever be honoring to you. God, as we gather here today, as your body, we are made up of individual families, family units. Lord, husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, sons and daughters, grandmothers and grandfathers. Father, your glory is in this. And so we ask, Lord, that you just continue to speak to us. Show us your design, Father. You have designed the family to use it, Lord. To use bloodlines to pass on a spiritual heritage. Father, awaken us to that calling, Lord. Equip us to that calling. Father, we ask that you bless us in working out that calling. Father, we thank you so much for the sacrifice of Christ. Father, that covers all the sins of those that will trust you as Savior. And Father, thank you for providing the way through Christ, the only way, the only name by which we may be saved. And so, Father, give us eyes this morning to see. Father, give us ears to hear. But above all, God, give us hearts that are tender to your word and your Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, church, I stand before you this morning ready to sound an alarm bell, ready to call out a warning. We as Christians, we are under attack. Without a doubt, we are under attack. And the primary battleground where Satan is working is in the family. I fully believe that is where Satan is focusing his effort and his demons. That's where he's spending his most time. That's where he's working out his schemes. Friends, listen to me. We see this. We see this, that all across Christian America, all across Christian America, we see families that really look more like the world than they look like Christ. I mean, even in Christian families, sometimes children are seen as a nuisance. Maybe even sometimes as punishment. We see plenty of divorce. We see biblical illiteracy in our children. Fathers and husbands abdicating their role as leader, as pastor of their home. And sometimes we even see wives stealing the role as family leader. We even see families where children are ruling the roost and parents are walking in line to whatever they say. Family Bible study and instruction in the Scripture at home is at a low frequency. God, help us. Amen. God, help us. And we're reaping the fruit of that. As you know, the proverb says, what you reap, you will sow. All right? And we're reaping that. Let me share with you just a couple of findings. Lifeway Research has found this. They have found that 70% of our children walk away from the church when they turn 18. 70% of our children walk away from the church when they turn 18. Now, not all of them stay gone. Not all stay gone. Of that 70%, a third end up coming back and worshiping in a church regularly, at least two times a month. But the second third, they come back, but they come back very infrequently. Maybe one time or less a month. All right? Maybe they come Easter and Christmas. But then that final third, those who have grown up in Christian homes, that final third never come back. They never come back. They're gone to the world, lost to the world. And if we combine those last two categories, listen to this statistic. It means that almost half of our teenagers and our children, when they become adults, almost half, the church will have no influence or significance in their lives at all. Friends, that breaks my heart. We are raising a generation of pagans. We are raising a generation that is leaving the Lord and the things of God. We've never equipped them to really know what they believe and to know why they believe it. We've often equipped them to the point where they know about Christ. But when something a little bit seems better comes along, they're so easily dragged away. So easily dragged away. Beloved, this is not how God desires it to be. Now let me stop here and say this. This is not a message about beat up your family. That's not why I'm here today. That is not why I'm here. I sounded a bell of alarm, and now it's time to equip us, to encourage us, to awaken our hearts to what God has designed the family to be, the families of the church. I mean, it is our God-given mission. And so here's the idea that I want to get across to you this morning. It's this. Family, pass on the faith. Pass on the faith. Now, as we look at our passage in Deuteronomy 6, Moses is about the people. He's not going to take them, but they'll be taken into the promised land where God is going to, he's already told them, I'm giving you this land. And Moses wants to make sure that they're ready. He wants to make sure that when they get there, that it'll be well with them. And so he gives us all of this. I mean, that's what Deuteronomy's doing. And so we come here to this passage in verse 6, or in chapter 6. The first thing that we see here in this passage is this. We must realize that children are our spiritual legacy. Children are our spiritual legacy. Look at verses 1 and 2. It says, make this clear. Moses says this. He makes it clear. Moses says, now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you're going over to possess it, so that you and your children, you and your son and your grandson, might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Friend, do you realize that what we're doing here does not stop with you? It does not stop with you. What we're doing here, it's affecting us, and it's affecting our children and our children's children and so on. It does not stop with us. It has ramifications and it has ripples that go on for generations. For generations. I don't know about you, but that's exciting, isn't it? That's exciting. If you are faithful and obedient to God, you will be positively affecting this earth even long after you've died and gone to be with the Lord. Isn't that exciting? That you can have influence long after you're gone. Do you ever think about life that way? I mean, we just so often get caught up in just getting by. We're trying to survive, aren't we? We're doing our best. But sometimes we need to just stop and take a breath and think about our legacy? What will we leave behind? What will my great-grandchildren say about me? And how is my life influencing them? Because it is down the bloodline, down the tree, that spiritual influence, it lasts. I mean, in America, sometimes we're so individualistic, aren't we? That we often just think of what we do, and we don't realize that our life greatly impacts those around us, and especially those that God has put in our families. Most significantly affects those. And so it's exciting. But on the other side, it is a little bit scary. It's a little bit scary to know that what we do right now has ramifications and ripples that last for generations. That's a little bit scary. Think about this. What if I mess up? What if I do something foolish? I mean, this truth encourages us, doesn't it? It encourages us to be cautious, to be wise. It also drives us to action. It drives us to actions. Guys, good intentions do not cut it. Good intentions only get part there. It's the actions that are going to make the difference. We must take seriously our legacy today. Let me ask you this. If you were to die at this very moment, what would your children say about you? And what would your children tell their children? Friends, I'm sure they would say many good things. You know what? They might even brag that you are a Christian. They very well might do that. But would they say about you, he or she loved the Lord with all of their heart, with all of their soul, and with all of their might, as verse 5 in this passage says. Would they say that about you? If not, what do we need to do to make that happen? Do you desire for it to be well with your children and your grandchildren? Amen, do you? Do you realize that? Do you desire that? Then we must realize that they are our spiritual legacy, and we must work to pass on the faith. So if we're going to pass on the faith and leave a legacy, I mean, it just makes sense. It's common sense. There must be someone to pass that legacy on to. There's got to be someone to pass that legacy on to. And there's something quietly choking out our legacies. Quietly choking out our legacies. It's this. And this is what I see. And you might think I'm crazy today. You very well might sit there and say, he has lost his mind. But God has been doing a work in my heart. The thing that is quietly choking out our legacies is the declining birth rates among Christians. The declining birth rates among Christians. Don't shut me out this morning, church, as some weirdo, as some wacko. As I said, God has been doing a work in my heart. He's changing my thinking. He's changing my thinking about my legacy. And that's what I'm talking to you about this morning, is your legacy. Friends, what has happened to the large Christian family? In 2008, it seems so strange to us, doesn't it? It seems so strange. You just ask any family of any size, and they'll tell you, yeah, people look at us like we're weird, like we're crazy. My wife, she grew up in a family of 9 children. There were 11 of them all together. And she loves to tell this story. And so I'll tell it. I won't get her up here to tell it. I'll tell it. And she said that when they would go into a restaurant, of course, you know, Dad would open the door and he'd hold the door. And then here come all the hall kids filing in. And she said, you know, at first no one really noticed. But after about the 5th kid, they stopped eating and started looking. And mouth just kept getting lower and lower. And Christy's brother, Brian, he's a little bit of a smart aleck if you ever meet him. I love Brian, but he's got a little attitude sometimes. And so finally he'd get tired of it after, you know, they'd done that over and over and over. And finally he said, yeah, there's 9 of us. Can you count us all? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You know, it drove him crazy. What has happened that the large family is so strange to us? How did we get here when the Bible says that large families are a sign of God's blessing? How did we get here when the Bible says that children are a gift from God? The truth is that our declining Christian birth rate, it's an exercise of economics. I mean, it's economics. It's just not profitable anymore to have many children. And we hear this all the time. They're too expensive. I'll never forget when Elijah was born this past June. I mean, it was beautiful. My wife had all the glory of God on her as she delivered that baby. And it had a little epidural to help out too. But anyway. I'll never forget this though. As the anesthesiologist, as she came in to prep her, we got to talking and she said, you know, she knew this is our second baby. And she said, are you guys going to go ahead and is this going to be your last one? And I, at this point, God had really been working on my heart anyway. And I said, well, no, I'd like to have five or six. And I want you to know that she looked aghast. Her face scrunched up a little bit. She couldn't believe what I was saying. She said, do you know how much it costs to raise children nowadays? She said, the average kid costs $250,000 to raise from birth until they're an adult and they can support themselves. And she went on, and basically she wasn't saying don't have kids, but she was saying if you're financially smart, you will have as few kids as you can have. You should have as few kids as you can have. And I want to tell you, my heart sank. My heart sank that day. Friends, when did we begin to see children as a hindrance to our success and prosperity? When did we begin to see children as a hindrance to our success and prosperity? Friends, children are a gift from the Lord. And you'll hear, oh, they're too expensive. You'll hear, oh, they're too much trouble. Friend, yeah, raising kids is hard. It is hard work. Mothers, they will leave your belly looking ways that you never desired it to look. And they will cling to your body to the point that you think you are not your own body anymore. And they depend on you for every need. And it's so draining. It's so tiring. Fathers, they will turn your hair gray. And they will cause you to pour out your very life, striving to support them, striving to feed them, striving to clothe them, striving to house them, striving to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But I want to tell you this morning, what better way to pour out our lives? What better way? What is more God glorifying? What is more impacting on this world than raising a whole generation of godly children? Amen. I have grown to love Psalm 127. Verses 3 through 5. The psalm says this, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate." For those of you who are coming to childbearing age, and for those of you who are right now in childbearing age, let me just share with you for just a moment the power that many children will have on your legacy. You know, Americans basically have two children. The actual rate is about 2.1. 2.1 children to the average American family. And let's say that having just two kids remains the norm in your family. And let's say that every one of them comes to trust Christ, okay? Every one of your offspring comes to trust Christ. And so basically, your kids have two kids, and their kids have two kids, and their kids have two kids, so on. Let's say for 10 generations. Do you know how many Christian warriors for Christ you will have produced? Any guess? The answer is just over 1,000. I mean, that's exciting, isn't it? That you have a process in bringing about 1,000 warriors for Christ. Not bad. That's not bad. But what if four kids become the norm? What if four kids become the norm and they all trust Christ? In 10 generations, you will have produced over 1 million warriors for Jesus Christ. Friends, that is a tremendous legacy. That is a tremendous legacy. But let's go a step further. Ben, you're crazy today. Let's go a step further. What if six kids becomes the norm? Six kids becomes the norm and they all trust Christ. Do you know how many children will be in your legacy? How many warriors for Jesus Christ? Almost 60 and a half million. In 10 generations, over 60 and a half million Christians. That's a legacy. What a legacy. That's certainly fulfilling God's commandment to be fruitful and to multiply. Now, friend, hear me. I'm not condemning anyone. I'm simply begging you to be open to what God would have you to do with your family. Seek the Bible's wisdom and the Bible's thinking. What I'm saying is countercultural. It's countercultural. It doesn't make sense to the world. But we're here to gain the wisdom of God. We're here to gain the wisdom from Scripture. And so I'm not saying a certain number. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm not even saying that you should have as many kids as you could possibly have. I'm simply saying, think about what God can do through us if we not only raise a godly generation, but we raise many godly children in that generation. May we desire to have full quivers and leave an immense legacy on this earth. Because what we're doing has ramifications and ripples throughout the generations. But it's not enough. It's not enough to just have a bunch of kids. It's not enough. We must work to pass on the faith to them. Therefore, we must teach the faith actively. We must teach the faith actively. Look at verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. And they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Let's be honest this morning. Making babies and birthing babies, that's the easy part, isn't it? That's the easy part. Well, I mean, yeah, labor and delivery is tough. Let's don't downplay that. It's tough, but it usually lasts for just a few hours. The hard part is passing on the faith to them. Taking what you have in the faith and transmitting it to your children. That's the tough part. But it's our calling as parents. Dad and mom, do you realize that it is primarily your responsibility to pass on the faith to your children? It's not Brother Ben's job. It's not the Awana volunteer's job primarily. It's not your Sunday school teacher's job primarily. According to Scripture, it is your job. 5 years ago, George Barna, he did a study on this idea. And he found that 9 out of 10 parents under the age of 13 said that they believe that they have the primary responsibility for teaching their children about religious beliefs and spiritual matters. 9 out of 10 said, yeah, that is primarily my job. And if I were to survey this congregation this morning, I would venture to guess that 100% of you would say, it is primarily my job to pass on the faith to my children. Yet we're graduating in our churches, aren't we? We're graduating so many students who really don't know what they believe, or more importantly, what the Bible says. And so perhaps there's a gap in what we believe and what we're actually practicing. Friends, I believe that fried chicken is high in cholesterol, it's full of fat. I know that it's not good for me, but I'm here to tell you, I'll eat fried chicken all day long. There's a gap in what I believe and what I'm actually practicing. And often it's the same way with our children. What we believe is not really what we're practicing. There's a gap there. Do you want to raise a generation of young people who are fully equipped to stand in the Lord, to stand strong? Then you must teach the faith actively. When Moses says, you shall teach them diligently to your sons, he has sort of a classroom in mind, an intentional sitting down where you instruct your children, a time when you purposely say, kids, come here. Daddy and mommy want to teach you about the Lord. That's what he's talking about there. When we do that, I mean, what should that look like in our families? What should it look like in our families? It might be frequent family Bible study, where Scripture's read, where it's explained, where it's applied. It might be Scripture memory amongst your family members. You know, you might print out a verse, and you might hang it on your bathroom mirror, and you might hang it on the wall as you walk out the door, or by your bedroom, or maybe on the wall next to where you sleep. It might be testifying to one another as a family and sharing what God is doing in your life. It might be singing together. It might be praying together. It might be reading some nonfiction Christian book on a topic of interest together and discussing it. I mean, it changes with the age of your child, doesn't it? What you're doing, what you're trying to do. It might be catechizing your children. Now, I know you guys, as I say that word catechizing, you might say, I don't know what that is. Well, right out here in your literature table, there is a small catechism of Baptist beliefs. And what a catechism is, I mean, it's not just a Catholic thing. We often hear it and we think it's just a Catholic thing. And regrettably, many Christians have never even seen a catechism. A catechism, friend, is simply an orderly way to teach biblical truth. It basically comes in the form of a question and an answer. And you're probably familiar with this one that comes from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. That one of the questions says this: what is the chief end of man? Have you guys heard that question before? The answer is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And that's a catechism. That might be one of the ways that you teach your children, that you pass on the faith. Does it seem strange to you? Or does it feel awkward that you would do these things in your home? Does it feel awkward, a little bit weird? I mean, singing praise in my home with my kids, I just don't know. Studying Scripture with my family, I mean, I'll do my personal quiet time. It feels weird doing it as a family, teaching it to my kids. Friends, listen to me. It might feel strange. It might feel awkward, but it should not be. That is not what the Lord has in mind for your family, for my family. That's not what the Lord has in mind. Dads and moms, if we're going to pass on the faith to our kids, we must purposefully instruct them in the faith. They've got to know from you primarily what to believe and why to believe it. But also this, Moses goes on to say, he basically says this, he says, listen, don't just teach them in the classroom. Teach them in everyday life. Teach them in the field of life. That's what he means when he says that we should talk about our faith when we sit in our house, and when we walk by the way, and when we lie down, and when we rise up. And he also goes on to say that we should bind them as a sign on our hand, and they shall be as frontals on our foreheads, and we shall write them on the doorposts of our house and on our gates. He's saying, take the opportunity of life that God is giving you and teach them about the faith. Listen, everyday life provides you with incredible opportunities to pass on the faith. Everyday life. I'm not just talking to parents here. I'm talking to grandparents. I'm talking about any adult who has any influence on a young person. Life gives us plenty of opportunities. We call them teachable moments. Moments that God provides you with the perfect opening to teach Scripture in a real way, in a practical way. You know, just a few weeks ago, Zach rode with me, and I take him with me whenever I can to go out and do stuff, you know. And so I was going to WJLE's radio station, and we were going to go, and we were dropping off a commercial and a check. And so he rode with me, and I don't know if you've ever been out there by the radio station, but it's right next to a huge graveyard, a huge cemetery. And so we parked, and we went in, we did our business. And as we came out, we were walking back to our truck, and Zachariah looks over at that cemetery, and he said, Dad, what is that? And so I said, hey, teachable moment here. I mean, he wasn't even three yet. So, I mean, we didn't go into the deep things of the faith. But I said, well, come on, son. Let's walk over here. And we walked over to the cemetery. And we looked at the tombstones. And I said, son, these people here that are in the cemetery, they've died. And this is where we put people when they die. We place them, their body in the ground here. And I said, son, our bodies aren't made to last forever. You know, they're not made to last forever. And we looked at these people and we talked about it. And he asked a few questions. And again, I mean, we didn't go into this deep theological, scriptural conversation. But it was just a short, teachable moment to insert practical reality into my child's life. And God gives you that opportunity all the time. We must be ever ready to seize the moment to teach them. I mean, our very lives, shouldn't they? They should teach our children. Our very lives should teach our children that Yahweh is our God and that Yahweh is the only God. And our lives should teach us that our children, our lives should say, son, daughter, granddaughter, grandson, niece, nephew, you are to love the Lord with all your heart. You're to love the Lord with all your might. You're to love the Lord with all your soul. Our lives should reflect that. And that, my friends, is teaching the faith actively. It's teaching the faith actively. And so we've got to realize that children are our spiritual legacy. We've got to teach the faith actively. And here comes the good part. Here comes the good part. We are to enjoy the reward of our faithfulness. How many of you guys this morning love reward? Amen? Amen! We must do what earns that reward. And then we can enjoy that reward. If we will fulfill God's design for our families and faithfully pass on the faith to the next generation, I want you to see in this passage what great rewards God says He has in store for us. Look at verses 2 and 3 in this passage. It says, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Note that. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you. And note this, that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Now this passage is written to Israel, but it has bearing on the church as spiritual Israel in Christ. In Christ. And so that's the promise to us. When we are faithful to pass on the faith to the next generation, our lives, this passage says, will be marked by three things. Three things. The first one is longevity. Longevity to long life. Moses says that your days may be prolonged. If you fear the Lord, and if you teach your children to fear the Lord, to love the Lord, God says that He will bless you with many days. That's His promise. Secondly, He says that our lives will be marked with goodness. Notice He says that it may be well with you. I don't know about you, friends, but I want goodness to follow me all the days of my life. I want to see things happen that are favorable in God's eyes and God to shower back blessing on my life. Friend, God's favor comes from obedience. If you want goodness to follow your family, then you must be obedient to pass on the faith. And the final thing is this. Moses says that your life will be marked with abundance. Your life will be marked with abundance. He says that you may multiply greatly. That means that you will have prosperity in some aspect of your life. Now, I'm not preaching a health and wealth gospel. Don't hear me say that. The word prosperity, for some reason, all of a sudden is off limits to evangelical Christians. No, prosperity is a true reward from God. It's a true reward for God. And it might be in your family. It might be in your community. It might be in your work. But the Scripture says that if we are faithful and obedient, that we will experience great increase and influence in our life. God will work it out that way. God will work it out that way. And so as we come to a close this morning, let me ask you this.
Will you allow God to use you and your family? Will you allow Him to use you and your family? Will you allow Him to bless the nations through you? To be fruitful and multiply? To talk of the things of God all moments of your life? Dads and moms, let me ask you this. How are you doing in passing on the faith? How are you doing in passing on that faith? Listen, you might say, Ben, I'm not doing a very good job. Let me say this to you. It is never too late to start. You might say, but they're teenagers. Oh, friends, teenagers are looking to their parents for the guidance. You think they're not, but they are. They want to know what mom and dad thinks because they know that soon they're going to be out from your wing. And they are looking for you to teach them, to love them, to guide them. They really do want to know what you think, even if they give you a little attitude, right? Believe me, they want to know what you think. It's never too late to start. It's never too late. It's never too early to start either. You might have a baby that's newborn. It's never too early to start passing on that faith. I want to leave you this morning with Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7. Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7 says this. Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done. For He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a new law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. As the bride of Christ, as the beautiful bride of Christ being adorned for eternity with our Savior, may we be marked with and adorned with God's design for the family, being championed and equipped.
Thank you for joining us for this message from Ben Simpson, pastor of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. If you would like more information about our church or about how you can obtain other messages, please call us at 615-529-2813. 615-529-2813. We are also on the internet at westmainbaptist.com. As we leave you, may you trust in Christ alone to the glory of God.